A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, so here we are again, another week. Looking forward to this matchup against Washington, and looking forward to learning from some of the things that we did against USC, and we'll go from there. So any questions that you guys have for me?
Last two games, you've been able to put together rallies in the fourth quarter from fourth quarter deficits. What's kind of been the connecting thread between those two rallies and those two games from your team?
Our players have done an amazing job believing in each other and just trusting that their energy and their effort will pay off. And so I think that's been the key for us, is just the players keep working at it. So that's a huge that's a huge compliment to our guys and the way our players take control and the leadership that we have in this group.
You said after the game that you maybe got a little dinged up against USC, but played three very physical teams. How are you doing health-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see how it goes today. I know there's some guys that going into the game, we had some guys that weren't able to perform, and we had to tap into our depth a little bit, and that even happened early in the game after the first game. I think Keenan went out, and so we had some guys get banged up, but I thought the guys that stepped in did an amazing job, and the coaches did a great job prepping them for that opportunity, and then they made the most of it. I mean, this week we'll see how it goes, but I imagine that probably a little bit. We'll see how it goes, but I don't think we haven't lost anyone for the year. If that answers your question there, so we're still waiting to see what happens today and tomorrow.
Has your team stayed, compared to what you expected, relatively healthy comparatively?
Yeah, I don't really predict health. I just know that the only thing I can really predict is if our depth is ready, and we've learned a lot of from a lot of tough lessons that the depth needs to get better. And as much as you can preach it, it's sometimes going through the experience and having guys knowing that they're that close to playing in a game. That's the best lesson of all, So. Our guys, I thought they did an amazing job prepping for this game, and they trusted the preparation, and it paid off. And glad we got the win, but more importantly, I'm glad our guys learned and improved, and that players in our depth chart actually stepped up and made some plays.
How did the test from USC stack up compared to the previous two games against Power 5 teams?
Yeah, every game's been a great experience for our guys, and opportunities for us to learn, from. Regardless of the outcome, there's opportunities for us to improve and get better every week, and I feel like just like a lot of teams in the country are getting, they're getting better every week, and I felt like we're following that trend. And so as long as we can keep getting better every week, and we have to play better just because it's more opportunities for us to learn and get better. So that's what we're focused on right now as a group, and really looking forward to the preparation and the excitement of the game. Really get into this today's practice and meetings.
Did you have any mentors or people reach out to you to congratulate you?
Always do, yeah. There's always a bunch of text messages where it's Steve Young, Andy Reid, and all the football alumni, and a lot of former players that played for me and other schools and things like that reaching out. And so I appreciate everybody's compliments and excitement, and it's been really cool. So always thankful to the connections that I have with a lot of different people, but fans and staff and faculty, all that stuff included. It's been an honor for me. So yeah, it took a while to text everyone back, but I did it.
Whether it's been the defense forcing more turnovers or the offense not turning the ball over the last two games, what's been the most noticeable reason for that?
I think the players having just being mindful of it. I think you talk to them, they'll say that that's something that we really are pushing as a program. You know, to take care of the football and try to create more turnovers, and that's a big part of the game. Other than the score, I think it's really important. So, at the same time, I want our guys to still be aggressive. You know, and it's taking necessary risks, but we're all still learning and all trying to get better. And I don't think they need to be perfect when they play the game, but. And I think there's other ways to make up for mistakes, like effort and energy and things like that. And it's been really cool to see our guys, the players, really at the forefront of it all. And I'm having a lot of fun watching them lead and grow as a team.
When you look at some of the depth and some of the guys that, you know, were asked to make plays, who, as you're looking at film, who stood out? Who were some of the guys that you were impressed
everyone
with?
That was on the field. I mean, I don't know how to explain it other than, but leaving people out, but we used a good number of D linemen, had a lot of linebackers out there making plays, and you probably look at the tackle list and know who are those guys, right? I think Peyton Wilgar stepped up, Max Tooley, Kavika Funua had a great game again, and so, but we had a lot of guys that stepped up. Malik Moore stepped up at safety, and Bo Tanner, and we had a number of guys that played, and I can't name all of our D linemen because that's just too long and a lot of vowels, but this is a... which I don't really struggle with, but at this moment, it's just not going to be something that I really want to do right now. Just basically all 12 of those guys did great.
Jeff was really creative on all three games offensively. Is that coming from him, or are you urging him to do that?
He's the offensive coordinator. So that room has tons of experience, and they know how to put together a game plan. And so I think Grimes does an amazing job at leading that room, and he has great input from all those guys, whether it's Steve Clark or AJ Stewart or Aaron Roderick or Fessy Sitake or Eric Mateos. Those guys do an amazing job at pitching in and helping with the game plan, and he's doing a great job leading that group.
Seems like the defensive concepts have evolved quite a bit since when you first got here. What are the reasons for that? Would you agree with that?
If the concepts have evolved?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's we're going to do as much as we can to help us win, you know, but at the same time, focusing on what we can do and how much we can execute. I think we have a unique type of player here that can probably take on a little bit more in game planning, you know, and so we'll see how that continues. But I've been really pleased with the defense side. I named all the offensive coaches, but on the did I leave anyone out on the offensive side? I think I named them all, right? AJ,
Steve.
If I forget Fessy, that's okay. But AJ, Steve, right? Mateos, Grimey, and A-Rod. And so I think I got the whole room. So that's on the defensive side. I've been really happy with the coaches there, too. And Ituyaki's doing an amazing job at defensive coordinator and working with a lot of different things and scheme and strategy that he and Ed Lamb and you know, Preston Hadley and Janelle Guilford, the way they collaborate is really good, and I've been really happy with our graduate assistants and all our analysts that help out. So it's been a whole team effort, and they do an amazing job.
When you look at Tyson Williams and what he's done offensively, and he's had 90-plus rushing yards each of the last two games, what impact do you see from a coaching perspective beyond the box score?
He's a hard worker. I think I mentioned that from day one when he got here, that he has this standard that he practices at, and that everything that he does is he's always going 100%. And so that's great to have in the room as a reminder. And he's a competitive guy. So I think it's been really cool to have him, you know, whether it's the urgency because this is his senior year to get on the field and make it work. But whatever comes with his preparation, the way that he is, it's a huge compliment to A.J. Stewart for getting him ready and Jeff Grimes, but also to his family and what he's all about. And he came here with a mission in mind, and he's been a great addition to our team. Same thing with Soup. You know, we have a lot of guys that I feel are a big part of this team, and they make it work.
Who were the brains behind the scrum formation? Who's the guy?
Ed Lamb. Ed Lamb's done that before at Southern Utah, and I probably need to learn that when the team gets a couple looks at it, probably not to call it again, you know, but I can be stubborn at times and I can complain about things like the spot and stuff like that, but it's hard to be a referee and I get it, you know, but we're all learning, even me as head coach, and so, but I can still be stubborn. Sometimes it works out. My wife says hardly ever at all, but I can think of maybe one or two times it's worked out. In this case, it didn't.
You're going to give it to Kairos one this time?
There's so many things we can do with that formation, with that personnel group, and Ed does an amazing job at getting that group ready and having them all buy into the system. We use Kafensis at quarterback, which is, he's a versatile player and can do a lot of different things. And so, I don't know, we'll see if it has a role this week or not.
What's the potential of guys like Kairos and Lorenzo in the interior of that defensive line?
Those guys are athletic and they can move and they're relentless and they have a good coach. And he does an amazing job getting them ready. But I've been really pleased with how those guys, their approach to the game and the challenges that we give them. And you ask them to get a pass rush, a three-man rush, and they're up for it, you know. And so they knew that it was going to be tough, but I thought the guys that are on the field did a great job winning the one-on-one battles and trying to collapse the pocket. And it wasn't perfect. There's a lot of room for growth, but we used a lot of bodies, and the guys really went after it. And so I'm really pleased with the way they played the game.
What do you see from this Washington team versus the one you saw last year in Seattle?
Oh, it's different pieces to some of the. I mean, there's a lot of returning players too, but there's a lot of different pieces to it. And this is, I have a lot of respect for Coach Peterson because he can get that group ready. You know, that's what they do. They guys graduate and get drafted, and then they bring more guys in, and it's like they don't even miss a beat. So that was a great learning experience for us last year, and we're looking to see how much we've learned from that. And how much we learned from last week and seeing how we match up. I have a lot of respect for that program and what they've done in since Coach Peterson's been there especially, you know. And so I have a lot of connections, a lot of friends on that staff. They'll have them ready, and it's going to be fun to have them here in Provo.
Can you break down Wisconsin? Washington beat you really good here. You made a vow that you'd get better physically, and then you went out there and won. Mm-hmm. Will what happened in Seattle last year have any bearing in that regard as to how you play this?
More than anything, it had a bearing on how I function as a head coach and what I can do to help my team get better. You know, so every year is different, but I think for us to just keep working with what we got and not to give out our plans, because I don't want to do that. There's a plan in set, and our guys are ready for it, and we're really looking forward to the challenge.
Moroni was able to get out there and mm-hmm. have a catch on Saturday, and given the injuries that he's gone through, big deal for him, big deal for the team. What dimension does he add to the offense, given the defensive focus you see on Matt Bushman quite a bit? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mentioned like the urgency that you see from Tyson to get better and to produce and be on the field and to practice. The same goes for all of our seniors. This is their last go, and Moroni fits that, especially because he's been off the field with injuries, and the sense of urgency that he wants to be on the field, make plays, and it doesn't mean just catching balls. It's the stuff that he wants to do, little things, blocking and being part of the group and part of the team. It's been nice to see him in that role, you know, and being a leader. So we've missed him a lot, and the fact that we've missed him on the field is what you guys are seeing, but he's been doing a great job with the other roles that he's been given.
Where do you feel Zach's made the biggest improvement through the first quarter of the season from last year?
He keeps getting better. That's just, I mean, mistakes are part of the game, right? But he keeps getting better, and he's an aggressive player, and he's willing to learn. So that's usually a good recipe for success for us, and we're going to keep demanding a lot more from him. But I think no one demands more from him than himself, and that's a cool thing to watch as a head coach.
He kind of looked like he got banged up towards the end of regulation. He played obviously in the overtime, but is he in good health right now?
We all got banged up, you know. So, I mean, I got banged up in the mosh pit after everyone rushed the field, and I had a smile on my face and walked out of there with a few bruised ribs, but I'm okay, right? So, nothing that he can't overcome, and he's going to be fine.
How does Jacob Eason measure up as a quarterback compared to the other guys you already faced so far this year?
Yeah, big target, strong arm, and let's say he does a good job in his progression. And, you know, if they feel comfortable with him being a quarterback, then he must be something special. So it's another great challenge for our defense, and I'm really excited about the game plan and the strategy that we have looking into it. But we are going to have to execute on defense, and if we have to go into our depth, then we have to do that and see how they perform. But, yeah, this really excited for this chance.
Knowing how big Eason is, other than Kaufusi, I'm not sure that anyone's taller than him on your defensive side. Do you have to prepare for that differently, just knowing he's going to have a different view of the field?
No, it's not like we're going to sit out there and line them up and see who's got the bigger biceps and who's taller and who's got the wildest hair. So, no, you're going to have to play football, put a helmet on, you know, and we're just going to have fun with it. I mean, I don't know if you can look at it that way, other than we think we have some really good players and some shorter than others. But Eason, the thing about him is he has a high release point, so you're probably not going to get a lot of batted balls, but we're still going to try to bat him down.
Last couple of questions.
You recruited Puka Nacua here.
Mm-hmm.
What makes him different as a true freshman, I guess, as a wide receiver?
Yeah, if you have eyes, you watched what he did in high school football. He's an amazing player, great talent. I know him probably more personally than because I've coached his brothers, you know, and had Kai here, and so he has that toughness that comes with that family, and you know, he's just a great kid. So I'm looking forward to defending all of them, and him and Ty and all those that are from this area. And yeah, just I wish him the best, just not in this game, you know. But it's been fun to watch him on film and stuff like that. But we'll see. I'll cheer for them after this week, but not this week.
Much is made about in-state recruits leaving for programs like Washington or USC. How important or how big is it for your program when you do get those wins like you did last weekend and this opportunity coming up?
Just get the guys that fit our program, and we as a coaching staff and as a program need to make sure that we have that mindset of introducing our program to others, those that may not know much about it, but the ones that love BYU, we need to make sure that we do what we can to get those recruits here. But it's a good sign that there's good football and that good local talent everywhere. You know, they're going a lot of different places, so that's a good sign that football is better here with the increased population that Utah's seen. So that's a good sign, you know. But for us, it's just making sure that the guys that we recruit, whether they're preferred walk-ons or scholarship guys, fit what we're trying to get done here as a team, and they fit the mission of the school.
Last question.
What's been the feedback for the dancing, specifically from your family?
My daughters keep telling me stop dancing, and I told them that daddy's going to dance because the guys want me to. So I don't know if the dance moves are going to get any better, but I know that if we keep winning that I'm going to get tons of practice. You never know, guys. I mean, this is going to happen. But we, you know, I just don't like the one guy dancing all the time, so we did a little bit more team dancing after the swim, and who knows, there's always country line dancing for the next one, so we'll see what happens.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys, thank you.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.